All right, what up, what up? It's your boy Carl Cherry, one third of the Rap Pack. Typically, I sit here with John Tanner and Trent Clark and debate rap topics endlessly, but we're switching up the format today for a little one-on-one conversation. I'm here with the black Brad Paisley, Baby Keem.
What's going on, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Long time in the coming. You know what I'm saying?
Long time
in the
making.
Process, however you say it.
But, all right, but before we really dive into it, how does someone feel like the black Brad Paisley?
Man, I'm so different. Like, I make all type of music, especially in that time period. I was just practicing, like, all type of different sounds, you know? So I'm just a country singer. Like, at this point, I'm whatever that is, you know what I mean? So that's kind of what that meant, you know? Like, I feel like I'd do any genre. Like, if you could do country, you could do anything. Like, especially as a black man, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you could do anything.
That's a fact. So you've always been into music, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm curious to know what's your first memory of hearing music? Like, what is the first song or the first artist you could remember hearing?
Man, you know what? I remember just being like, it's weird because I'm come from like a family of people that just love music, like. In their regular everyday lives, music's just such a big part. So I have to just give it to them, because when I was 4 years old, I was in studios with like my auntie. Like, like, you know, you wouldn't expect your auntie. Like, I look at my auntie she kind of more of like a big sister to me. So, you know, my auntie and my uncles, and they was all like, you know, in their 20s, and I'm following them around 4 years old, like, just to get out the house, and they in the studio at 4 a.m. They was probably making, I don't know what they were making, but I didn't even know where I really was, you know what I'm saying? But it was, you know, I look back on that now and I'm like, okay, so they always burning CDs, and I've just been around that, just burning LimeWire days, all that type of shit, just seeing that process, and just, you know, I come from that type of strand of people. Like,
is there, and you say 4 years old, right? So obviously it's you're not thinking clearly at the time, right? But is there any, like, so even with myself, when I think about my first memory of music or whatever, it's like, it sounds, but it's hard for me to like describe exactly what it is. Like, is there any artist or song that comes to mind that you remember?
Man, I mean, I could tell you like my own experience with music, like when it wasn't like brought around me for so, like I started, like when I was like 9 years old, I just started researching myself. You know, I would hear music obviously around, but you know, I think it was important for me to start that journey on my own and like start looking up shit myself. So I think I would say like Kanye West, like 808s, a lot of Lil Wayne at the time. It was, I think that was like the first two artists, especially Lil Wayne. Eminem was one of my favorite artists too, like just being a kid, just 50 Cent. Like, I just remember being in the car, 5 years old, just like, take you to the candy, like that shit was, so. I think those four artists right there were essential to me discovering what music was and, like, you know, the landscape of how it worked, you know what I mean? And then I had uncles as well that would just, like, just show me shit, like, from back in the day. And it kind of just ended up, just worked out.
So you mentioned 808s because you were 4 years old when the first Kanye album dropped. So 808s is where you started and then you worked your way back?
Yeah, for sure. I would say just hearing like what, I didn't know what it was at the time because I was like, but hearing Graduation like on the radio all the time. And then being like, okay, like I'm getting tired of these songs now. Like, sheesh, let me go find something myself. Like, who's that one dude that make that song? So I'm like, all right, let me go. And I end up finding 808s. And I'm like, whoa, this reminds me of, like, the winter time. Like, this is the best winter ever. I think it had snowed like in Vegas, which is like, it's the desert out there. It don't really snow. So I'm like, this is crazy. It's like the soundtrack to what's going on right now. And then I go back more and I'm like, okay, these are cool. Like, but I like 808s. And I'm like, and then I just remember like getting older. I'm like, okay, like Dark Twisted, like all the lights. Oh my, this is my favorite song. Like, this and Amazing. Like, and ever since then, those have been my favorite two Kanye songs, like Dark Twisted and, All the Lights and Amazing, my favorite two Kanye songs. to this day. So I think it's just that, the whole process.
Do you have a favorite Kanye album?
That's so tough because he makes That's so tough, man. I mean, I think my most influential album would be 808s for sure. But I think my favorite album could be Dark Twisted. But it goes back and forth. One day it'll be 808s, and the next day it'll be Dark Twisted, and you know.
There's no wrong answer when it comes to
Kanye's catalog. There's no wrong answer. You can even say the first two albums, like whichever one, like, you know, that guy is creative genius, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you spoke about some of the entry points to your music, but you're also on the record saying that Cudi is one of the people that influenced you. Mm-hmm. Who else influenced you?
Lil Wayne, for sure. Eminem and his storytelling, like the way he could just embody a character on the song and change his flow so many times. That influenced me. Even some of the artists that have come out, like when I was in high school, and just seeing like Uzi, all those guys do what they did in the SoundCloud times and things like that. So, it was tough. Drake, for sure. Drake's one of those guys. And just his work ethic and, you know, his hunger to keep, you know, staying where he is. It's just like, I just take from all these sources of, you know, people, take whatever they experience and turn it into my own knowledge. But yeah, that's some of the artists, for sure, for sure.
So, you know, I read up on some of your interviews, and you mentioned that you've always been around music, and that's kind of what led you to want to be an artist. But
right.
Is there a specific reason why you wanted to make your own music?
Yeah, it's funny because, like I said, I grew up around like FL Studio early. Like, I seen FL Studio being used in like 07, like, you know what I mean? So it was one of those things where it's like, okay, they doing this as like a fun thing. They got their jobs on the side, my family. And I'm like seeing it, and it's like, they want me to get involved, you know? And I was always scared. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm scared. I'm only 6 years old. Like, I don't know, like, what do you mean freestyle? Like, like, what is that? Like, I'm not doing that. Like, y'all gonna say I suck. Like, why would I do that? So it's just that, and then just from there, that little peak, and it's just like, I want to do it. I want to do it today. Like, I think I want to rap in front of them. And I'm like, nah. So it's just days like that, like the moments of just the gatherings and stuff like that. It just made me realize, okay, like, maybe this is something I want to do when I get older. You know what I'm saying? And I was familiar with FL Studio from like 9 years old. I just didn't start using it until I was like, you know what I'm saying, like 14, until I developed my own habits and things like that. But yeah, it's for as long as I can remember. I think when I was like 14 years old is when I really like, okay, I want to make music. Like, I want to really do this. Like, and then I didn't know I really wanted to do it I did, because I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have wasted my time. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, if I'm gonna make music, I want to be an artist. Like, that's the whole point for me. So that's when I discovered that.
So you started around when you were 14, and you literally were trying to find your voice. Like, you wrote first and waited until your voice was deep enough.
Yeah, it turned out like that. Like, I would be in the, I'd be on the game with my friends, just talking, yapping, my squeaky little voice, like, yeah, da, 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 da. So I'd be on the game, and we'd be rapping and shit, and some of my homies ended up like actually like recording a song. And then so we just started doing that, and then in the process of just doing that, we would like just work kind of together. Like, we were just like, oh, what are you working on? Like, we'd be on FaceTime, like, what are you working on? Oh, I'm working on this, like, da da da. So it just became that, like, every single day. And then before you know it, like, I've got good. Like, so I think it kind of just happened naturally like that, you know?
Yeah. What was your creative process back then? Like, how did you come up with ideas?
You know what? I started by just writing a song and then finding a beat, and then it turned into like finding a beat and then writing a song, and then it turned into like recording like a mumble of what I hear in my head, and then finding the lyrics to whatever I just mumbled, and then, like, you know, and then I think it's just always growing. So in doing all that, I kind of have a lot of processes now, because I put that time in to each one, you know? And so, yeah.
So you mentioned some of your friends were into music, because I also read that you know, you mentioned that there's no music scene in Vegas, but you had a lot of peers that were into music.
Yeah, I had a lot of homies like that I played the game with, and it's just like, you know, from all over the world, pretty much, like all over California, and I'm in Vegas, so, and just like, but, you know, people know what I'm talking about when I mean you got homies on the game and all this shit like that, but, you know, just in playing the game, you just get close. Like, you know, it's just like, you know, natural vulnerable element when you playing the game. It's just like, all right. So that's really how that stemmed off. And then people just start rapping and stuff. Like, we was always into the same thing already, you know, music, talk about artists coming out, talk about albums, talk about Kid Cudi, talk about all this shit. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's how it kind of stemmed up.
So I was looking up the ID magazine piece.
Yeah.
And it, coincidentally, right around the time that you started making music is around the time that you reconnected with Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
But I focused in on the word reconnecting. As right. You guys lost touch, what had happened exactly?
I was a kid, honestly. Like, it's like, I wouldn't even say lost touch. Like, I was just like, I was, last time I seen him, I was probably like really young, like probably like 5 or something. I was just a kid, like, you know what I mean? So. I probably would say like I had started making music when I was like 14, right? And then I didn't see him. It was an unfortunate situation that happened in my family. And then I guess we kind of just connected through that. But like, I wasn't really making music to the point where I would be like, yo, like, you know what I'm saying? So I was just kicking it, like, you know, whatever, it was whatever. He didn't really even know until like later. I finally just like sent him a song and it was just like, oh, he's like, oh shit. Like, he heard something, and I guess he's like, I'm gonna play this for everybody in the studio. And I'm like, all right, for sure. And then I was like, all right, I'm gonna wait. I'm not gonna send him no more music. I'm gonna wait and get better again. And then we'll come back later. And then I'll send him music again. And then, so I wasn't sending him music for a minute. And then, like, I don't know. Yeah, we just touched bases on that, but we connected through that unfortunate situation that had happened. And I guess, yeah, we just got cool, like, on that aspect first. Like, you know what I mean? Just on a regular aspect. He didn't even know I made music for a while. Like, I was on something like, I just want to go. Like, he was like, what do you want to do? I was like, I just want to go to college, bro. Like, I'm going to figure it out. Like, because I wasn't even 100% sure, like, I was even good at music. So I'm like, yeah, I want to go to college. Like, I probably want to act. Like, I want to do this. Like, one day, just like, I'm going to figure it out. Like, but I got to get to California. Like, that was my whole thing. I got to get to California by 18. I'm going to figure it out. He's like, yeah, you're going to figure it out. Like, you're going to figure it out. I'm like, for sure.
It sounds like you were a little hesitant at first to even reach out and send him music.
Yeah, because I figured, like, I'm like, everybody does that. Like, yeah, I knew from a young age, like, I'm not trying to do what everybody does. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I wasn't even doing it seriously enough to even be like, I would just be disrespectful at that point. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, you have to, you know, it's a million other people that want that opportunity, so you have to really live up to it if you're gonna do it, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't want to like be disrespectful by even wasting his time to even listen to something, you know, he could be listening to something else. So I want to be very careful with how I, you know, went about things and respectful, you know?
You said he heard it and said, oh shit, I'm sending it to everyone, but do you remember any specific feedback he gave you when you first heard the music?
I just remember like my first ever like real like time sending him music, he's probably just like, don't put it out. And I was like, why not? Like, he's like, don't put it out. And I'm like, he's like, this is called, like, how you get the melodies. Like, you got the melodies, but just don't put it out. Cause like, I'm like, all right. But I see what he meant now. He was just like, you want to wait. Like, but I didn't know. I didn't listen. I just still put it on SoundCloud. I went to school the next morning. Like, yeah, I didn't like that. Like, but from there, yeah. That was like the initial reaction, but I never knew why he said that. I kind of just figured it out on my own, like later in life, like now, like okay, like you got that strategy and shit like that, da, 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 and you don't want people to. I'm practicing, like in my head, I'm just practicing, so I just treated it like practice and kept doing it. But it was definitely like a confidence booster for sure. Like it was like okay, like he fucking with my melodies, like that means like I'm just gonna keep doing this then, like keep doing it over and over. So. Yeah.
So you recently made references to you guys being cousins, but initially it felt like it was strategically like something that you kind of didn't want to acknowledge.
Yeah.
Was that because you wanted to earn things on your own merit?
Yeah, not for sure. 100%. Like I said, it would be just like, if I wasn't ready to like do what I'm doing now, then then it wouldn't be happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want it to be, even in the process of just like I wouldn't even ask for anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't send him my music until later, you know? So I just want to make sure it was, you know, like for me personally, I just want like make sure it was like owned, like, you know what I'm saying, it's my hand. And there's plenty of other people that come from my family too that do music, but I don't know why their process never, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know what's going on with that, but yeah, I just figure like.
All right, so we talked about feedback. More than ever now, you guys, you artists, get instant feedback from the public, right? And a lot of times you see people get criticized, but be upset about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I missed it, but I do remember seeing a piece in Pitchfork that was very unflattering of you, but I've never seen you like respond to it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, okay, like that makes me think he's above it, or he made me wonder what's your take on criticism or negative reviews. Do you acknowledge it? Does it bother you?
I mean, obviously, like, you see things sometimes, and it honestly just adds fuel to what I'm doing, if anything. Or if it doesn't even do that, then it just, I'll laugh, like, because I'm really funny. Like, I don't, like, I try to put myself, I was just in that shoes of talking shit on Twitter, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I get where it's coming from. Like, you niggas just be yapping, bro. Like, so you just gotta accept it. Like, it is what it is. That's the whole point of doing it. Now everybody likes LeBron James. Now everybody, you know what I'm saying? So it's just gonna come with how it happens. So it's fun. That's what makes it fun, though, to be honest with you. It makes it all fun. Like, you have those 90, like, you can say you have 99% of people rooting for you. And it's just natural to humans just to see like that 1% of people that's like, ah, but you know, like I'm kind of really too smart for that, like to even let that even. I'm like, bro, I got 99% of these people, like they love me. And it's like, you know, I owe it to them to keep making the music I make. I can't let these other people, you know, throw me off from what they like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
It's a good perspective. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's very interesting about your journey to me is that you started so early. Like, you're from a generation where a lot of the artists that break through, mm-hmm. they started rapping a year or two before their breakthrough moment. But you had a whole plan. Like, it was like, all right, I'm gonna write first, wait till my voice gets deeper, and then I'm gonna keep writing. Like, do you feel like that gives you an advantage? Because you're a veteran, you're an upstart, but you're also a veteran. You've been at it for a while.
Yeah, no, it better, because I've been in that room researching. That's my whole thing. Like, that shit didn't give me an advantage. I'm not trying to do it. It got to, like, I mean, if you in the lab, like, if you in the lab working hours on hours, not sleeping, and before anybody even hear you, like, then it better give you something, because it's just like, you know what I'm saying? And that was my whole thing. I've been planning that since. Like, I'm gonna outwork everybody. Like, once I realized I was like good at it, like it became like, okay, I really want to do this. I'm like, I'm about to just try to outwork everybody and learn and research everybody. I'm gonna try to know things people don't know. And like, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna figure out how to get an upper hand. Cause I look at it as like competition. Like, at the end of the day, like, you have your friends and things like that, but you in competition. So that's the only way I want to do it. Like, I don't want to be in here, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to compete against other artists. That's the whole, that's my whole point. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like the comparisons, you know? Like, I like seeing all that, like, you know? It just fuels me. That's what motivates me most of the time. So, yeah.
I found some of your early stuff on SoundCloud. Like, I went back to Midnight, and it's so different from the last two mixtapes. Like, what was the turning point for you creatively? Because I know that Baby Keem, the song, like, jumping on that song was, like, a turning point for you because you found your confidence. But it's more than confidence. It's, like, it's the way you frame things. It's the references. It's a lot more blunt. It's what you referenced earlier where it's, like, I'm just ignorant. It's just, like, you created, like, a specific lane. How did you develop that style?
Man, honestly, it became, like, I learned that, like, you have to be vulnerable in music. You have to be at your most vulnerable. That's the only way people are gonna gravitate towards what you're saying. Like, if I wanna write a song, like, honest, and I wanna have people in the crowd singing back to me, like, and phones in the air, and that moment, I want to have that surreal moment with them, then it has to stem from a vulnerable perspective and start. And that's where, that's what I learned the most. Just like, I just have to find whatever makes me vulnerable in the moment, and, you know what I mean? And how to get over that shyness of expressing that. Like, even with going to the studio, like, it's times where I'm like, I can't have nobody in the room. It's some people that, like, that's never seen me record, that be around me all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, so even my, like, even with engineers, like, I'm so picky with who I let record me, because, like, at the end of the day, I gotta be able to say things that I wouldn't normally tell people, you know? Like, some things I've said in music, I've never told anybody, you know what I'm saying? And like, I get calls all the time from family members, like, how did you know, like, to say that? Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, cause I keep things in, you know? And I'm reserved, and, you know, I just, yeah, it just shocks them, I guess. So that's where I'm at with that.
Right. So on your last project, Orange Soda took off, mm-hmm. platinum. By the time this airs, it's gonna be over 200 million streams on Spotify.
Damn.
Right? But I heard that you're kind of sick of the song.
Honestly, I think I'm not sick of the song. I'm just sick of the Orange Soda references, like you know what I mean? Like, in terms of like actual soda, like, and like the color orange, like, you know what I mean? But I still love the song. Like, when the song comes on, I'll gladly perform it, because I didn't get to, like, the whole last year. I didn't get to get sick of my own song. So, you know, it's kind of just like catching up to that and getting reacquainted to the people that like my music. Again, it's like starting over, kind of, for me.
Right. So, speaking of last year, like, you went into 2020 literally one of the most exciting emerging artists, mm-hmm. you know, in hip-hop, or in general. And your album most likely would have come out in 2020 if everything was open, yeah. but then shut down.
Yeah, dude.
Right? How did you deal with that?
I took it hard at first. I took it real hard, because it was like, this would happen to me, like, me. And it was like that for a good month, I would say, until I realized, I'm like, bro, music aside, bro, like, people are, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on outside? Like, I'm actually blessed to be in my position. Like, you know what I mean? Like, compared to anyone else, like, Dave likes to say this phrase a lot. He's like, you wouldn't, like, I look at you and I could tell, like, you wouldn't want to be any other artist. Like, you wouldn't even trade places with whoever, like, right now. And I'm like, damn, you're right. And I'm like, and just on a personal level, like, I'm like, I'm in a good situation. Like, I live here. I got to smell the palm trees. Like, some people, you know, don't have that situation, don't have that same fortune. I get to take care of my family throughout this time. I know they're straight, you know what I'm saying? And I looked at it, like, after the first month of being like, my album, like, I stopped. I was like, okay, this is what's really going on. Like, it's kind of hard to get out that artist mindset, you know, when you're just in it. Cause I was really in it. Like, I was in the trenches with that album. Like, I'm still in the trenches with that album. I was really in the trenches, like, trying to get it done. I was ready. It was like all your dreams. But like I said, I put myself in other people's shoes and I realized I was blessed. It was actually, and I got to take time and perfect my actual album. And it sounds completely different now from what I had. So I'm actually grateful that I had the little time to work. Really, so it's everything.
Sorry. So it sounds like, because for a lot of people, a lot of creatives, artists, they had a hard time being creative during the pandemic. Like, they hit a wall. But it sounds like you didn't have that problem.
No, at first I did, for sure. When I was in that, before I started looking at everything differently, because I tried to go back to working, and I was still in that zone of like, oh my God, like why is this happening? Like. And then once I got out that zone and realized I was blessed, I started taking advantage of the situation to my favor. I'm like, I went back to my same thoughts. Like, I'm gonna outwork everybody. So I went right back to it, like, after. And I got myself together, put my shirt on, clean shirt, clean. Got back right. And I went back in. And it worked out for the best, I would say. For sure.
Outside of recording and writing and being creative, how did you spend your time during the early parts of the pandemic?
Honestly, I was just playing video games. Like, I was chilling. Like, that's why I was like, once I put down the controller, I'm like, wait, I just played video games for like months straight. Like, I made some important relationships, like, obviously, like, it's nuts. Like, you know, I met a producer, like this during that time, and he's ended up working on, like, half of my album, you know what I mean? Like, together, we built, like, a chemistry. His name's Scott Bridgeway. And, yeah, it's been nuts. Like, usually, before, it was just me, like, really just me, like really getting out the mud, making beats every day in the studio, like, and so now it's cool to have some, you know, someone that could bring other ideas to the table and expand in that way. So that understands my sound, because we spent so much time in the pandemic just talking, just like, I want to do this, like you know this song, like on 808s, man, like I always wanted a song like that, like that made me feel like you know what I mean? So I use it to my advantage for sure.
Like, well, speaking of production, you know, one of the early moments of you getting notoriety is for producing for others, right? Like, you were on J-Rock's album, you were on Black Panther. But it seems like you've been focusing on your own stuff. Oh, Lion King. But it's not... let me not forget that one. But it sounds like you've been focusing on your own music mostly. Do you foresee yourself producing for others somewhere in the future?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I like to be selective. What I do. I don't want to have a scenario where I have something that I just don't like in the prime. I'm like, damn, I fucked up. Like, I fucked that person up. you know, because like 80% of music is like the beat now. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want to have that scenario. So I'm really selective of what I do and who I work with and like who I produce for in the future. But yeah, no, it's for sure. Like, after the Lion King thing, I kind of just like, all right, like, that was crazy. I never thought that would happen. Like, like that's something I couldn't even fathom doing. So I'm like, all right, this shit has endless possibilities. Like let me hone in on myself real quick, and then I could dazzle in, you know, sprinkle every now and then, come back with on somebody else's album, or you know, I think it's a good skill to have, because even when I'm not dropping albums, you know, when I'm giving my music a break, and I could come in and still be heard in some form on other people's work, and I think I like it. I like having that in my arsenal for sure.
Well, you mentioned being selective. One of the ways you've been selective is with collaboration. Mm-hmm. You know, even though hip hop is very collaboration driven, you're someone who's buzzing right now. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have been knocking on your door trying to collaborate. But up to this point, up until Durag Activity, you hadn't collaborate with anyone, whether it's somebody on your song or you hopping on somebody else's song.
Yeah.
Why was that? It seems like strategic. Why was that important to you?
Like I said, it was like going back to the whole like get it on my own situation. Like I wanted a like a situation that where the people that listen to me are listening to me for me, and you know what I'm saying, and even a situation where it's hard for them to accept me working with other people, like, which is what we have now, like going on. It's like, you know, they like Keem, and that was important for me to build that foundation, and you know, of my loyal folks that support me and things like that. And I just wanted to do that, keep it in-house, keep my sound. What I wanted to develop what my actual sound was before I even had people influence my sound, you know? And yeah, that was really important for me.
One collaboration that people have been speculating on is you potentially working with Drake, ever since they saw the picture of him popping up at your show.
Yeah.
How did you guys connect?
Man, how did we and Drake connect? That's a great... I think it was like right when like Drake tapped in, so as he should, you know, he tapped in. So he, as soon as Die For My Bitch came out, he, I think it was probably like a few months after, he like reached out and...
DM?
Like, yeah. He's like, yo, like, bust her up. I just remember like seeing a bunch of emojis. And I'm just like, it wasn't even a conversation on working. It was just like, damn, I look up to you. Like, you know what I mean? So like, honestly, I'd be like, I look to him, like, I'm like, yo, like any advice I could ever soak up from him is just like, I try to do that. You know what I mean? But it didn't become a thing of, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever work, like we'll see like whatever happens in the process. Like there's been some talks about it, but you know, it just gotta happen. It gotta be the right record and it gotta be the right situation, the right timing. So I understand that on his perspective, from his perspective too, but just even him saying that like I had the best album of 2019, that just meant a lot. Like that goes far, especially coming from someone like that, so yeah.
So I'm I spoke to Super Mario. He did mention that you and Cardi were supposed to be on What's Next.
Right.
Or whatever happened with that?
I don't know. That's just his process. And, you know, I think I look at it like we don't work now, then we work later. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially with someone like Drake, you know what I mean? Like, it's that's his process. I can't hate on another man's process. Like, I do the same thing, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the coolest person. Like, I'm not ever gonna, you know, I can't ever be emotional at somebody's process or, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's their process.
All right, let's talk about the album. Let's get into the album. How long have you been working on it at this point?
It's been like 2 years. 2 years, yeah. Even like I have records from this, like Before I Die For My Bitch, that I just held off because I'm like, this is a record. Like, I wanna do right by it. Like, I wanna make sure it has something like really, really that supports it around it. So it's been like 2 years.
I noticed, and you tell me if you notice the same thing, but I noticed all the records that you put out after Die For My Bitch, like No Sense, Hooligan, Sense and Critics, Do-Rag Activity, like, it sounds like you took a leap with the cadences. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of one of the earliest things you said, like, you don't want to be a lyricist, you want to be the king of flows.
Yeah.
How do you work on that part of your art specifically, on the flows and the cadences?
Just keeping it fresh. Like, I don't want to keep doing the same thing at every song, you know what I'm saying? So if I gotta manipulate my voice, then I have to, you know what I mean? And try to use my voice as an instrument, whatever way possible to keep shit fresh. And I got to, because I don't want to discredit people that listen to me, by, you know, people that support me, like, they be like, going crazy, people going hard for me, talking shit to people for me. Like, I don't want to let them down with just, you know, the same thing over and over. You know, I don't want to prove the people, the 1% right. So, yeah, you feel me? I got to just keep being different, keep staying sharp on my skills. So, and being confident too, in enough to put new shit out, whether it works or not, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
You posted recently the Melodic Blue coming very soon, something like that. So that's the album title.
Yep, the Melodic Blue.
I know you're very strategic on when you share information. So I don't expect you to tell me about the features or the producers. But what else can you tell us about the album?
I mean, it's a few producers on there. Like, I mean, it's kind of the same people I've been, you know, going to besides myself. In terms of that, but what else? I mean, I don't know. It's just like it's a full. I think people will be fed for a while. You know, I remember just doing Die For My Bitch, and I just remember doing the show, and I'm like, I have no songs. Like, I'm like, I can't. Like, how am I gonna be up here for for like X amount of time, and I have like no songs, and like it was lit, like I was smacking people. But I would say the project is definitely longer. It's a longer project. Yeah, people be fed for sure. Yeah, I never really thought about that though. I never really thought about, like, I just been so in the mud, just working. Like, I'm working into the last day on the shit, and I'm still working. So I never really thought about like how to explain this shit. You know what I mean? Like, or what people can expect. Like,
instincts.
Yeah, I'm still in the trenches. Like, I don't even know. So, yeah, I'm trying to figure it out right now.
All right. You appeared on the PG Lang mission statement.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you shared a scene with Yara Shahidi.
Mm-hmm.
Very brief, but very convincing, in my opinion. So is that something you want to pursue in the future, acting? Because you mentioned earlier that that's one of the earlier thoughts that you had, that you wanted to do music and acting as well.
Yeah, honestly, that was like, it's like, again, confidence. Like, I was like, my auntie, like, I look like, again, like I said, again, I look at her like a big sister. She took me to like some acting thing when I was like 4, and I froze up. I'm seeing all these kids. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, like, I'm take me home. Like, so I was like, nah, take me home. And ever since then, I'm like, damn, should have did it. I'm like, I'm like, damn, actually, this shit's actually kind of cool. Like, I like doing it. I like skits. I like being funny. I love that. I love that type of shit. I live for it. So it's like, that's like one of my first passions. Like, just like, damn, I want to be an actor. So it's definitely something I want to do in the future. I want to do it right, though, with anything, just how I, like, approach music. I want to have the right necessary, like, you know, training and to hone in on my natural ability as well. So, yeah, that was a cool little preview of it, of what I kind of could do now, but I definitely want to take that and grow.
You spoke about your musical influences earlier. Do you have any influences in the acting realm?
Nah, because I don't really know what I want to be yet. I just kind of want to be me. Like, I kind of, the character I want to be is just made up in my head. Like, I guess that kind of what drives it a lot. I will say I like what Childish Gambino is doing, though, just from a perspective on just doing just diving into each art and how he's approaching things. And, you know, I actually got to meet him like a year and a half ago, and that was pretty cool. So I always looked up to what he does creatively, specifically too. So, yeah.
He's doing something interesting, which is he's doing both at a high level. Cause you know, it's something that's interesting also with Drake, he came from the acting space, but he hasn't gone back to acting yet. I think it's because they're aware that it's very hard to do both at the same time. And cause you know, you go back to, I mean, I ain't gonna name no names, but like when you start focusing on in one area, the other suffers. Something that you have in mind as well when you think about doing both?
Of course. Like if I'm even thinking about doing it, I'm already planning a strategy. I don't waste no time. I get to it. Like if I'm like, okay, I wanna act one day, then I'm gonna plan the best way to do it. So it has to be to a point where my music is just like I'm able to do both. Like, or, you know, one year, maybe I'll just tour for a year and just focus on acting, or, you know, however I have to do it to where both of my skills can. Because, you know, wherever I'm at, I'm going to be recording regardless if it's on set. Like, that's how I have to work harder than everybody. Like, that's just end of story wherever I'm at. So, yeah, I just have to figure out the best scenario, you know what I mean? But I'm going to make it work for sure.
Right. That's it for me, man. I just want to know if there's anything you want your fans or anyone else to know out there. Anything else you have to share?
Shit, not right now, man. I mean, I shared a lot. It's a lot, man. A lot of blue soon. That's all I have to say. And that's it. Just be ready. Be ready, because it's going to come.
We're ready. We've been waiting.
Perfect. Let's go.
All right. Oh, boy. Thanks for your time, King.
Yes, sir. I'm sweaty hands.
I'm nervous, like.
1 A long time coming, almost 2 years in the making. We had a conversation in 2019 about me doing his first on-camera interview, because he's done print so far but hasn't done anything on camera. But obviously, pandemic happened. Actually, we were planning to do the interview closer to like the first episode of the podcast that we did. So it went well. He was comfortable. I'm happy to see that. Cause you know, some of these artists, these emerging artists, that they're not, that, you know, they need to work up their confidence to talk to people, right? You know, he has interesting things to say, you know, things that may make some other people nervous to speak. When I'm interviewing people, I'm always feeling out their energy. And one thing that I want to make sure of is that the energy never changes from being good and comfortable to tension, because then you'll lose the subject and you may not get much more out of them. So for example, you know, I know that the Kendrick stuff he's willing to address and he's ready to talk about it, but I stayed on that topic for a while. So, you know, I was constantly gauging like, all right, at what point is it gonna start feeling like I'm spending too much time on that particular topic? And then when Will and I spoke about it, you know, he was talking about reconnecting with Kendrick and he said that they were brought back together by unfortunate circumstances. And I think because I was conscious of the sensitivity around it and the time I was spending around the topic, I kept it moving instead of asking a follow-up question. So I could have gotten more context into, you know, what was the unfortunate situation that happened that brought you and Kendrick back together. You don't want to assume it's a funeral. Maybe it's something else. Maybe somebody got sick. I don't know. But that's something that I wish I asked Like, you know, we talked about negative reviews and, you know, critics reviewing his music and not necessarily, you know, putting him in a good light. And he has a good head on his shoulders, and he said he doesn't care. That's one person. Why would you chip off 1% if 99% of people like your music? He addressed the Drake question, you know, about him and Drake recording. I wish he told me what he told me off camera, on camera. Because he told me a little bit more. He went into how his verse on the song, on What's Next, was crazy. Because he knew, like, hey man, if I'm gonna be on a Drake song, I'm gonna make the most of it. So apparently his verse is hard. Hopefully we get to hear that song one day. Hey, don't call me an influencer, man. I have so-called influence. When I think about influencers, I think about people that get paid to peddle products on Instagram and TikTok. I don't do none of that stuff. I have a job, I have a platform, but not an influencer.